Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Merry Christmas, Indiana. May you be merry and full of cheer as you reflect upon the many sacrifices our Lord Jesus Christ suffered to come to this earth to bring us the joy of salvation and reconciliation with the Heavenly Father. May the Lord grant you wonderful peace and happiness today as Christians celebrate the miraculous birth of Christ, the glorious Son of God, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What a wonderful hope we have in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish his earthly millennial kingdom of righteousness and quell the storm of moral and political chaos that wreaks havoc upon the earth today. Jesus preached to his disciples a sermon upon the Mount of Olives at the end of his earthly ministry. This sermon, also called the Olivet Discourse, was preached to put all of Jesus' disciples for the last 2,000 years during this age of grace on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready and faithful upon his return. He admonishes us to be prepared and alert for his return through earnest prayer, faithful obedience, and acceptable service. He cautions that some believers will be careless in their walk with him. As I continue preaching through this series, there are 7 parables in this discourse which I identify and explain. Different aspects of Jesus' sermon addresses specific events, targeting 3 specific groups. Hence, I subtitled this sermon, The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. But only believers can discern these events and parables and witness to the world the second advent of Christ. The unconverted Jews and the unregenerate Gentiles have no clue what will soon befall them if they fail to embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Again, Merry Christmas to you all as we close out 2022. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Okay, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Okay. Long time, 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And reckoned. Reckon means judgment. The day of reckoning. Another name for the judgment day, the day of reckoning. The day that you're going to have to pay the piper. You've heard that expression. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, now this is the words that every one of us in this room should desire to hear from the Lord someday. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. Can I say it again? Faithful. What did I say?
Faithful.
Faithful. That's what this whole Olivet Discourse is dealing with. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, so well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Great words, beautiful words. I want to hear that. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done. Again, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had... Can I just pause there for a minute? I pity the congregation where the pastor says the book of Matthew is not for the church today. I pity that congregation that they don't understand these words are for them. But there are, and we've discussed that before, churches that say, well, the book Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not for the church today, only the writings of Paul. Paul affirms these things. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and bit my nails and chattered my teeth and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and sloth. These are the words you don't want to hear. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Usury, old King James word we don't use today, interest. Just means interest. Usury, when you put money in a bank or into an investment, you're hoping to get interest, right? Not in the banks anymore. You don't get any interest. If anything, you had to pay them to put money in your, keep money in their banks. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Grievous words right there. Grievous words and sad words. So, in your notes, page 23 in your notes, after the pre-trib rapture and in between the marriage supper is the judgment seat. The judgment seat. Okay, and the judgment seat, at this judgment seat, everyone is going to stand before the Lord at a judgment seat. And everyone, this is where the Lord will determine who's coming back with me to the earth to rule and reign on the earth. Who's going to ride a white horse with me down from the clouds to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet at the Battle of Armageddon. This is a detailed event of what's going to take place in the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, that term is not used but by Paul in the book of Romans and in 2 Corinthians. It's used twice. But this is a picture of that judgment seat, what will transpire during that period of time. This parable of the talent details the events as we stand before the judge in all the universe. This event occurs in the pavilion in the clouds. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, here we have it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all, meaning we believers, the saints, the church, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Okay? So did we not see a good and faithful servant and a bad and slothful and wicked servant? All right? So there's the expression. There's the detail we're seeing in the parable of the talents that is reiterated here by the Apostle Paul. Some preachers in the past said, you know, everybody's like excited about the pre-trib rapture. Get me out of this earth, right? I mean, we see what the globalists are doing, and the forced jab on everybody, and all the other wickedness that's being heaped upon this earth and upon us Americans. We want to get out, but Some preachers have said in the past, you know, it's an express train to the judgment seat. It's an express train, express elevator. You don't have any, you don't go into any floors in between. You go from here to the clouds, and you stand before the Lord at the judgment. So, again, just that's what it, you know, we have to understand. But if we're ready, we're ready for all those things. The judgment seat of Christ is court only for the children of God who are raptured out of the earth. This is not a judgment of the vile, unsaved, unregenerate, non-believers. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let us that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a what? Faithful creator. A faithful creator. So commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. That's an important verse right there. Judgment begins at the house of God. The talents speak of individual skill sets combined with spiritual gifts that are bestowed upon every child of God. The Lord expects believers to develop and utilize them to bring glory to his name. These are the elements of eternal fruitfulness when utilized to their fullness and are not left dormant. Okay, let me read that again. The talents speak of individual skill sets combined with spiritual gifts that are bestowed upon every child of God. The Lord expects believers to develop and utilize them to bring glory to his name. These are the elements of external fruitfulness when utilized to their fullness and are not left dormant. We see this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These two chapters deal with spiritual gifts. I used to teach at IBT for many, many years the missions class. How many remember the classes that Pastor Dixon started a long time ago? I think there was a maturity class, there was a membership class, maturity class. I taught the ministry class. I taught the ministry class, and then I think there was a mission class. So the four M's. And I always predominantly taught the missions class. But these two verses were predominant in that because it deals with the gifts that God gives us. When you're a child of God, God gives you gifts. Sometimes you got to work them out to figure out what they are. But as you minister, you'll discover what you're good at and what you're not good at. I am not good at singing. Okay? I learned that very quickly, that I am not the music leader. I will not be the music leader in the church. Okay? That I didn't have to take a long time to work that out and develop that and realize that that just wasn't me. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I love that phrase from Paul. Paul uses that phraseology all the time. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Especially us Americans should not be ignorant in the Word of God because we got the Word of God in our hands. We have one in every household. Right? As believers, we should. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. Okay? Remember when you used to put that statue up and, you know, pray or bow or did that, you know, to that, you know, that God or, and back then, you know, they were a lot of paganism back then in the Gentiles. But these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And some of you who come from Catholic backgrounds understand the dumb idols in the Catholic Church. The Mary statues. I mean, you just drive around town and you find who's a Catholic by their statues that they have. You ever see some of you by Villa Baptist Church? There's a house off of State Street that has a huge statue. Little house. Huge statue that stands taller than me. Unbelievable. Ye know that ye were, let's see here, dumb idols, even as ye were led. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Only us in this room who are believers can call Jesus Lord, because we've embraced him. I don't think I would have done that before I got saved. Do you think you would have called Jesus Lord? No. Master of my life? Lord? No. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? Diversities of gifts. Many, many, many different types. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. Ministration, how they're administered. Okay? Some people are gifted at speaking. Some are gifted. So I like to talk to adults. Kim likes to talk to children. She likes to teach children. I like to teach adults or older children. But different administrations. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. All right? Operations. Just how it's all done. Some people minister on with podcasts and make podcasts that we can access today. Some want to, you know, some are in the pulpits ministering or in a classroom ministering, and some do it through podcasts. You could do it in a Christian school building. You can do it in a church building. So that's the operation, diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Okay? So every gift, every man has a gift. And the Spirit of God is within you. That's one gift every one of us has, the Spirit of God. For to one is given by the Spirit the work of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another. And today, when I say diverse kinds of tongues, it means they can speak multiple languages. They're bilingual, multilingual. They can go to the mission field. People like David Fox, when he was in Haiti, when the call of God was on his life, he knew he wanted to go to the mission field. He originally thought he wanted to go to Australia. And he went with a missionary to Australia, right? I think he went to Australia. But the door closed for him to go there. And the door opened. Another missionary came to the Baptist temple, talked about missionary work in Haiti and their need for help, because this man was, wavering on his health, and he was up there in age, and He wasn't going to live much longer, and he needed help down there. And the Spirit of God came upon Dave Fox to go, to be that missionary. And you know what? God gave him the ability to learn that language so rapidly. It was amazing. The Creole language. It's like a French Creole language in Haiti. And God gave him that ability. People marveled how quickly he learned that language, because that was where God called him to go. And so the diverse kinds of tongues, to other the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The church is a body. Each local church is a body. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That body, the Holy Spirit, has baptized us all in the Holy Spirit as a congregation. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay, then what Paul does here, he gives us an anatomy lesson. How many have had an anatomy class? Okay, class in anatomy. All right, here is the spiritual anatomy class. Paul breaks it down to the physical anatomy class. All right, he says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So do you understand that? Are you all eyes?
No.
No. Are you all ears? No. Do you have 4 feet? No. We're all, so everybody and everything works together. Your hand works together to bring food up to your mouth so your tongue can taste it and your teeth chew it. Does that make sense? So the body, the congregation, is to work together as a body with different gifts and spiritual gifts and diversities of gifts. And we come together. Just because one person has this gift and another person has this gift, we coming together, working together, we can put it all together and make it function. And that's what makes the church function. So the anatomy lesson there. Ephesians chapter 4. Go there in your Bible. Ephesians 4. Something I want to point out here. It's chapter 4. Let me just point something out here. Verse 7. But unto every one of us it is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The measure. We're measured out. Gifts are measured out. The Holy Spirit is measured out to us. Gifts are measured out. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That is speaking of spiritual gifts. He led us out of captivity, out of the prison of sin, of death. That has nothing to do that he led those who were in paradise up to heaven, as used so often as a mistake. That has nothing to do that he led the paradise where Jesus went after he died, and people call that a captivity. That's not a captivity. That's paradise. How can paradise be a captivity? We were captives to sin, to Satan, We were captive. And he led us, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So now we are captured by Christ. And he's given us gifts. And we are in his realm, in his kingdom, if you want to use that word kingdom, but we're in his church. The kingdom really is coming, so I don't like to use the word kingdom today. The issue is the church. The church is the important thing. The problem with the preachers today, they're not putting emphasis on the church, they're putting emphasis on the kingdom, that this is the kingdom. No, the kingdom's coming when Christ comes back. We got to worry about the church and make sure the church is functioning, a functioning unit.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.